I'm sure that there are going to be plenty of questions on the coronavirus, and want to give you a little background. Spent almost an hour in the Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee meeting that was devoted to it. We had four people testifying, and just got out of a luncheon with Alex Azar, some of the same people that were at the HELP Committee, and especially Vice President Pence. So got as fresh a batch of information as you can get. Well, from not only the committee hearing we had earlier, as well as the meeting, is that I think we are as alert and ready to go as we could possibly be. You know, I thought that was the case last week, but there's just additional information out there now in terms of the number of test kits that they're going to try to ramp up to. Also getting feedback from some of the places where it has been, you know, a really bad problem, other countries. So we're learning from some of that information. Mostly that when you put it into perspective, in a normal flu year, we have millions of cases with somewhere between 15 and 20,000 deaths from the flu. When it spiked a few years ago, it got up to as high as 60 to 70,000 deaths. And you can put that into perspective, even though this is kind of early in the process here. I think we've had five or six deaths. So I think the fact that it originated in such an explosive way, and we saw it all, and you were kind of waiting when it was going to get here, had the individuals affected that were on the cruise ship, it's very, very low risk that anyone is going to acquire that virus. And we got a few other things we've learned. It's hardly impacted anyone under the age of 20, and it is almost disproportionately and fully impacted people that are over 50 that had some type of predisposition, some pre-existing condition. So that was mentioned briefly by the VP, and that is throughout the entirety of the federal government, all agencies from NIH to CDC to FDA, they were all represented today in the committee hearing, and going down through the infrastructure in the private sector among hospitals and state governments. That is all being done, and I guess the thing to keep in mind is that we've had heads up. And I think the fact that when the travel ban back and forth from China was put into place, that was mentioned a couple times, that probably gave us the breather to where we were able to get ahead of it. So didn't go into particulars of how that structure looks, but across the private sector, state and local governments, and the fact that the second highest official in our government is in charge of it, Vice President Pence, I don't see where we have any gaps there. And it's all hands on deck. And I think we're taking it seriously and going to do everything as preemptively as we can. So that wasn't mentioned earlier, and it's a good question. I think the president was looking at that $2.5 billion range. I think Leader Schumer had mentioned that figure in roundabout amounts. I think many of us, depending on what it does end up being, there's going to be some room for flexibility, because I think we'd rather over-authorize and then be careful that we've spent the money well. And I've actually got a suggestion out there that regardless of what we end up authorizing, is that and then whatever's appropriated, is that we have some type of accountability that we've used it for that purpose. And if we don't, that we bring it back. So whether it's the lower amount or the higher amount, I think that in this case, it's going to be given the resources it needs. And then it should be like most, a lot of things here don't have that monitoring and watch it as we spend those dollars to make sure it's going to the right place and being used effectively. So Vice President Pence, among almost everybody we've talked to, the likelihood of any one individual contracting this is very, very slim. If, you know, and you've heard about community spread, that's kind of got the undertone that, you know, it's out there everywhere and it can, you know, pass from one individual to another in some fashion that's really ramping up. That simply means they don't know where it started. And if you take all of the cases that we've had so far here in the U.S., very, very few. And I think the wish is that we are vigilant, that we get tests out there where we do have a cluster of incidents, and that we stay on top of it. In terms of any particular state, including Indiana, I think that sooner or later we're probably going to see instances of it. But I'd like to put it back into perspective that in a normal flu season, we've got of the variety of flu strains that are respiratory in nature, maybe not quite as virulent as this might be, there are 15 to 20,000 deaths from complications from flu. And we've had, if you take across the world, a whole lot less than that. And maybe that's the nature of the virus itself. We don't know that for sure. We're going to learn a lot about it once we see what its life cycle is. I did get some feedback that in some of the countries where they've had it ahead of us, especially China, assuming you're getting the correct information, that they found a way to get a handle on it. So I hope for any particular area, any city, any town, any state, that it remains to be very unlikely that we're going to have a big issue with it. But we act like, you know, I think we should proceed like that will be the case and be safe rather than sorry. That's going to be probably a little more difficult thing to grapple with. I think that there is going to be a true economic effect, especially in places like China where your infrastructure was not in place. And you've had travel bans affecting, you know, commerce in and out of your country. Here, I think that we've seen with the market bouncing back as a general indicator. We won't know this until we get the GDP figures that will come out at the end of the first quarter. So I think the good news is that the underlying economy is as strong as it could possibly be to take a outlier like this and absorb it, get through it, and not have any real long-term effect other than what has been caused so far. And depending on how many cases we got across the country and which countries have the most of them, it's going to be, to some degree, measurable. But I think in the context of how strong the economy is in general, it would, again, be something I wouldn't get too alarmed about. I think we're going to find out when we get through this that one of the strong suits was the fact that we've got an economy that's doing as well as it possibly could to confront something like this. We won't really know that for sure until after we get figures at the end of the first quarter, which will be sometime, I'm guessing, in April. Yes, so a vaccine, in terms of going through the trials it needs to go through, it's as quick as it's ever been with the ability to actually develop vaccines. But still, my understanding, that is 10 to 11 months, up to a year, to where you'd have vaccines in production. And very well, you know, this thing could have quieted down by then. And then, of course, there's the discussion that if it lays low, you know, during the summer months, will it revisit us in the fall and during colder weather, which is possible. And it looks like a vaccine that would be hitting the market for availability would maybe coordinate when the next possibility for this to really flare up. And, of course, we'll keep a watchful eye on it in terms of what it does between now and then. But that's as quick as it can possibly be due to today's technology and the ability to, you know, find out what you're fighting and craft a vaccine. But that's not going to be overnight. The testing kits were discussed to be somewhere between 1 million and 1.5 million, and ramping up to that quickly so you can deploy them in the areas where we've got the greatest concentration. That, of course, is different. And then there will be certain therapies that will be focused on that can kind of assuage the whole, you know, what the impact is, and that was somewhere in between and much quicker. So there wasn't a whole lot of detail on what that might be, but that's a shorter time frame. So the test kits to actually find out how bad it is in certain places, and then the different therapies that can kind of moderate the symptoms, and then the vaccine. Those will be kind of the three steps that will be involved to get a true handle on it. Don't know that in terms of which state has, but there are a lot of places across the country wanting them. And I did hear today at the lunch that the goal is to have 1.5 million out there, ramping up to where it'll take some time to get them out. But that seems to be a focal point, because I think we need to have that information so that we can differentiate between the flu and the coronavirus and see how bad it is and kind of gauge how it will spread, especially in the areas where they've had, you know, a few cases in the same place. Did not get any particular information on when we will be getting them. I think, though, that they want that. It's probably through the FDA site. And they knew that there were many senators that asked that same question. They just didn't have the particulars of how many and when, other than the gross figure. So I think that that probably, if you want to, I'm not doing it personally, and I haven't talked to many people that are, but I think the fact that this has been seen in a way, that especially how it originated in China, and you saw the dramatic efforts they made to where they were building hospitals on the spot, I think that gave it the impression that maybe everyone is susceptible in that fashion. We, of any country, have the best line of defense. And I don't think that does make sense, especially when you look at, are you doing that to avoid, you know, the common flu, which ends up killing 15,000 to 20,000 people a year. And a year when it spikes with a certain more virulent strain, you know, it can be up to 50 or 60,000. So I think that having a run on that stuff does not make sense with the information we've got so far. And we will, I believe, have a good feel to whether it's going to lay low, stay in, you know, kind of where it has not amounted to a big deal in this country, or with what we're putting in place, I think we're going to honestly be able to tell whether we do need to be more worried about taking those kinds of efforts. Personally, I think that what I would advise is just pay attention. We're learning from it every day, and that we are going to react with funding and with methodology that's as good as it can be in any country, and that it will expand as we get more information, and that's happening right in front of us. So.